Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel On My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hey, Jono. How are you today?
Good, thank you, my friend. I'm just having a look at Arut Sheva, Israel National News. There's an article, not even an article, it's a video, so we won't go into too much detail, but it's entitled, Oops! Wrong Number. Apparently, Ross, an Israeli citizen recently got a new cell phone, right? And with it came a new number, or so he thought it was a new number. I think this guy's name was Yossi. G'day, Yossi. Okay. And apparently this new number that came with his new phone is actually the old number of the IDF's current chief of staff. Now, Yossi was apparently getting all sorts of text messages, top secret stuff, until he figured out what was going on, and he contacted the appropriate authorities. But somehow this got through, and Yossi ended up with the old number of the IDF's current chief of staff. What's his name?
I think it's Gadi Eisenkot.
Okay. Well, in any case.
Gadi Eisenkot.
Now, something else in this is Times of Israel. Israeli with fake bomb sparks U.S. airport panic, right? He was on his way to a security course. Like, you did a security course. This guy's on his way to the States. Alon Feldman charged with creating false public alarm after trying to get through security at Newark. Where's Newark? Is that Florida?
It's in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
I always fly. No, it's New Jersey.
Okay. With an item designed to look like an explosive in his bag. It does look like a phone with a battery.
Wires on it or something?
Yeah. No. It's got a battery and it's got a little, like it looks like a bomb. And he uses it in his security presentations and whatnot. He should have known better. But the interesting thing is, Ross, that he got through Tel Aviv. He got through Tel Aviv with this thing, and they picked it up in the States.
Oh, man. Yeah, you can't travel with bombs, fake or real or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a no-go.
X-Ray picked it up, and he got into a lot of
trouble.
What'd
they do to him?
Well, I guess they've charged him with, I mean, because it costs, you know, good heavens, when everyone shuts down and they take all the precautions, I mean, a lot of money is spent or lost. In focusing on what might be a present threat.
So don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't Mental do note. That. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentico, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel On My Mind with Jono Vandor and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hello, Jono. How are you?
Very well, thank you, my friend. It seems every time we talk on Israel On My Mind, we're discussing records being broken in tourism in Israel. Give us the lowdown.
I tell you, I love to report on this because you're right. Every week, it seems like something is being published about this very topic. This year, it's better than the last year, and that's been the case. 20% year-over-year increase in tourism is just now been reported on Israel National News, Arut Sheva. And of that, so there were 4 million tourists went through Ben-Gurion in the last 12 months. 4 million, Jono. And one of the things that I saw, so we'll say good day to our friends Anna and Derek Jacobowski, right?
In Canada.
115% in from Poland. So they're originally from Poland.
That's right.
I saw 115%. They said in this article, it says that in the month of Iyar, 429,300 tourists came through Ben Gurion.
Isn't that interesting?
In 1 month.
So I wonder, there was a whole lot of controversy regarding a certain law that Poland was passing, trying to not incriminate themselves in the history of the Holocaust. Maybe that, as a result of that, it created a higher Israel awareness by which people have decided to go and visit.
It could be, but it's a drastic increase. And I even know I have some friends from Poland who currently live in Poland mm-hmm. who traveled to Israel quite frequently to work at Biblical Tamar Park down close to Ir Ovot in the desert. So, Now, the other thing that this article covered is that all of those tourists, you know what they net off of those tours? 20 billion shekels revenue from tourism in a year.
That's amazing. So in U.S. dollars, what's that?
I think it's about 5.7 is what they reported.
5.7 billion U.S. And this is what we say to people. If you want to bless Israel, do it in a way that's mutual. Go there and spend your vacation dollars and contribute to the Israeli economy, the tourist economy. And in return, you're blessed with an amazing vacation, as is the case every time you and I go on the Tanakh tour. We're doing it again this November. We'll be doing it again next year. Go and spend your tourist dollars there.
That's right. We encourage people. We obviously want people to go with us, but we tell people all the time. I mean, if you can't go with us, go. Just go to Israel. It will change your life forever. It's an amazing country. And I think that's one of the draws. You know, we've talked about how happy people are there. It's just a wonderful trip. I mean, people spend money to go on vacation all over the world. Why would you not do this at least once? We say at least once or twice every 6 months if you can, but
I'm with you. What else have we got in the news?
I'm pretty excited about some of the ongoings that are taking place in the American administration. One of the things that was just published, I don't remember if we talked about it, but the current president, Trump, just told U.S. Jews that there would be no Palestinian aid until they make a deal with Israel. Did you see this? It was in the Times of Israel.
I read about this morning. I also heard that Palestinian offices in the U.S. have been closed. Is that
what? That President Trump told several Jewish leaders prior to Rosh Hashanah. He was talking to them about everything that the administration is doing in regards to pro-Israel stand. And one of the things he was talking about is he said that the Iranians, this is a quote that I wrote down, the Iranians have lost their mojo.
Right.
since he quit the nuclear deal, and he also said now they're fighting for their own survival.
Right.
But he really got into this Palestinian situation because he said until they make a deal with Israel in terms of a peace agreement, that we're not giving any aid, no aid money. And he says, you know, hey, look, I've made the hard step already. The U.S. has taken Jerusalem off the negotiating table by moving its embassy to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And so he said the next move is going to tell the tale. If they want money, they've got to come to the table. So Ambassador David Friedman, my friend. Hello, David Friedman. Ambassador, how are you? He says that they're working on the embassy. So he said a lot of people can go by and take their picture there. They're doing it now. Okay. So we'll have to do that when we're in Israel.
Absolutely.
Now, the second point, we reported last week that Paraguay had backed down from, remember, they made the commitment under the previous administration.
Right. There was a new leader in Paraguay, and he said, yeah, you know what, we're not going to move it. We're moving it back to Tel Aviv. Now, I think you floated an article from Haaretz saying that the U.S. was pressuring Paraguay not to move it. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, the Trump administration contacted the Paraguay administration and said, look, you got to walk that back, walk that decision back. They're putting a lot of pressure on him. As of right now, at least according to the article that I posted from Haaretz, there was no public released response from Paraguay. But the U.S. is really putting pressure. It really didn't define that pressure. Like, what are they doing? How are they doing? And I think it's probably more than just an encouraging word to walk that back. But, yep, they sure are. They are definitely trying to do that. Now, there's one other thing that I saw in the news also in Haaretz, and that is that the Trump administration shut down the Palestinian mission in Washington, D.C. Did you hear about this?
No, I did. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's right. I heard about this morning. Give me the details.
Okay, so, of course, the Palestinians are up in arms, but there is a delegation that currently, or previously, I should say, held office in Washington, D.C. for PLO diplomatic relations. Mm-hmm. And this office was shut down by the current administration. John Bolton, remember, he just moved into a position not too long ago, a very, very strong advocate for Israel. Mm-hmm. And he announced it this past week, and said, look, we're not going to allow this continue. And again, they're applying pressure to bring the Palestinian leadership to the negotiating table, because when the U.S. moved the embassy, Abbas and his friends said, we don't see the U.S. as an honest broker for peace. So they kind of folded their arms across their chest, threw their nose in the air, said, we're not having anything to do with the U.S.
Isn't that funny for the Palestinian administration to say, oh, we don't see you as a serious, you know, partner in the peace process? I mean, good heavens, history says that they themselves have always been the obstacle to peace. But, okay, so, but this is great, because obviously Trump is saying, look, this is what I said would happen. It's absolutely happening. I mean what I say what I mean. It's, you know, and if you're not going to come to the negotiating table, then things are going to get closed down and money is not going to flow.
Well, as you can imagine, and I didn't post an article about this, but I can almost imagine that there is a large demographic in the U.S. that thinks that this is just the wrong move. You know, because one of the things that the BDS activists and people like that are going to be pushing is, oh, the U.S. is not this kind country, and we're not, we've taken all the money off the table that went to, wink, wink, good causes and helping children. And, you know, they're going to paint it like we're the big bad wolf. Mm. But again, the U.S. administration is making it very plain that until Palestinians are willing to come to the table, they're saying, if you don't come to the peace talks, if you don't want to negotiate a lasting peace, you know, we're going to continue to crack down. We're not going to give you money. You're not going to have an office here in D.C. where you can advance your cause for the PLO. And that's what they're doing. They're cracking down. And Bolton is the right guy to give that message. Some would argue with me. But he doesn't beat around the bush. I mean, he's going to give it straight, and he's doing a good job, I think.
I like, and he's got a rocking mustache. Now, listen, you mentioned
he really does.
He really does. Iran. You mentioned Iran just earlier. Am I to understand that the foreign minister wished the Jewish people a happy Rosh Hashanah?
What? That is so sweet. Did you see that? Absolutely. Yeah, the Iranian foreign minister offered a Rosh Hashanah greeting. He said, he made it clear, it was mainly for the Jews that live in Iran, but, you know, to Jews worldwide, and it included a wish for peace and harmony. That's Javad Zarif is the Iranian foreign minister. And you know, a lot of people may not know this, but currently, they estimate that there are around 10 to 20,000 Jews living in Iran. Which, as I understand it, in the Middle East, that's the largest population of Jews outside of Eretz Israel.
Yeah. So do you think that this was a genuine wish of goodwill towards the Jewish people?
Well, I don't know. But look, that's that number of Jews that are currently living in Iran is down from approximately 85,000 back in 79 when the religious the religious authorities took over Iran. Mm. You know, I have a personal friend. You know, Dr. Tabor lived in Iran for many years. Previous to the current regime, this was very upscale and very modern, and they were going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. But look, I wanted to add, speaking of Happy New Year to the Jews around the world, Guess who else told the Jewish people Happy New Year this year?
Who?
Erdogan. Did I pronounce his name right?
Erdogan, the Turkish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He said Happy New Year to Jews around the world. Isn't that nice? So we had two people that you might not expect tell the Jewish population of the world, have a Happy New Year. That is just wonderful. No, I don't think either one of them meant it, but, right. You know, and what surprises me is that they're even concerned with being politically correct. But I guess it's the politically correct thing to do.
And got to play the game. Well, very good. We've got so much more to talk about. Ross, we've run out of time for this segment, but we'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things. But at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Vander and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. We went to the break talking about, the Trump administration, some of the actions that they've taken. No money for you. And no money for you. And we're going to be closing your offices and so on and so forth. And it's all happening. And he's trying to, and I think successfully, I mean, he's really a hard negotiator, and we all know him to be. To bring them to the table and be realistic with negotiations of peace. Now, this is just in Arut Sheva, Haley.
Speaking of hardliners,
Nikki Haley.
Saying what you mean.
I love Nikki Haley. He's quoted as saying Iran is suffocating from the U.S. sanctions. U.S. ambassador to the U.N. says Iran is, quote, feeling the pain from Trump's sanctions.
Yeah, the whole administration is saying that about Iran. Like we just reported, the Iranians, according to Trump, have quote unquote lost their mojo and they're now fighting for their survival. The financial stress that they're now under as a country, and they're, you know, we've seen plenty of videos where these people are marching and protesting in the streets against this radical religious regime.
Mm-hmm.
The Ayatollah and his cronies have more to deal with now than they can imagine. It's really heating up.
So
it's
she's quoted,
bad.
Yes, yeah, as she's quoted telling Fox News in an interview, they feel weak and we are suffocating them to the point that they have to address ballistic missiles, that they have to address their support on terrorism.
Yep. Speaking of the UN, which we love Nikki Haley, she is one of the sane voices in the halls of the UN these days. Another sane voice that we often talk about and we have a lot of respect for is Ambassador Danny Danone.
Yes.
And, you know, Danny Danone and the European Coalition for Israel just sponsored an interesting, I guess we would call it a ritual. And involved quite a few people. You know, we mentioned these bizarre, what we would consider kind of strange Rosh Hashanah greetings from Iran and from Erdogan. Well, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and dozens of ambassadors from around the world assembled at the East River in New York, sponsored at an event sponsored by Danny Danone and the European Coalition for Israel, to symbolize casting their sins into the water. They took pieces of bread and they threw it into the water, you know, bringing in the new year and sort of, you know, let's start off on a fresh foot. Now, I've never participated in this particular ritual, but I'm familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
But in this process, Guterres and UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says, I would like to take the time, this opportunity to offer my blessings to the Jewish people. And I'm sure that everyone there in the crowd, I'm surprised that anyone showed up other than, you know, the few that we would expect to be there. But it looked like, according to the photo in Israel National News, that it was a pretty good turnout,
mm-hmm.
you know, considering they're doing a Jewish ritual together. May it be so. May they, in their act of throwing the, I would think they would need a bulldozer to throw all their sins against Israel into the river, but a handful of bread, a truck full of rocks, whatever.
Symbolic.
Maybe this means that they're, well, I don't know. I don't know that I want to go out on a limb here. Let's just say we're hopeful.
We're
hopeful that they mean it.
Now, speaking of being hopeful, you and I have been, you know, a little bit hopeful about Saudi prince. At times, at times he's given us reason to be hopeful. I'm not so convinced anymore. In fact, Saudi Arabia, I mean, come on. Times of Israel. Saudi, let's just talk about the neighbors of Israel for a moment. I want to talk about Saudi Arabia and Egypt. Saudi Arabia arrests Egyptian man for offensive, quote, offensive, shared breakfast with woman. What?
Yep.
What is going on here, Ross? Please.
I looked at this, and one of the things that they have a couple of complaints about this Egyptian man, who, as I understand, is a hotel manager. The first one is they posted, evidently, he and this female who's in a complete traditional Muslim getup.
Mm.
That's not really
called a get-up. And she's a co-worker, right? She works at the hotel as well.
Yeah. But evidently, they're having breakfast together. They post a video on Facebook, and it sounded from the article like she's feeding him, you know, like maybe giving him a spoonful of pudding or something.
Okay.
And you know, that just
crosses.
Well,
he's holding the phone, though, isn't he? I mean, someone's got to hold the phone. I don't know if he doesn't seem to have a selfie stick. Someone's got to put it in his mouth.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, and I'm sure he could probably use that. But it just didn't go over very well with the authorities for a couple of reasons. Number one, here's a guy. He's an out-of-towner, first of all. This Saudi woman is feeding him with a spoon while he's doing a selfie video.
Yeah.
Someone should have told this guy, you just can't do that in this neighborhood. But nonetheless, the second problem is that he doesn't have a segregated workplace. See, it's bad enough. Like, it would be bad if another man were feeding him too, evidently. You just can't do that. You've got to have a segregated workplace, and he didn't. So he's in trouble. So two strikes on the Egyptian guy for this offense. I didn't see what they did to him, but it's probably not very good. But the Saudis, as you say, sometimes we get excited and think, hey, maybe they're turning a corner. They open the theater and they let women drive a little bit. But just recently, the same article in Times of Israel reported that there was an advertisement that was published publicly, and it had a woman in tight gym clothes.
Right.
You can't do that, Jono. None of that.
In her active wear, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she's like exercising, but
right.
I guess they needed her fully clothed. You know, it wasn't modest, so they got in trouble for that. And,
so they,
and
oh, they,
then,
they shut down a female fitness center over contentious promotional video that appeared to show a woman in tight gym clothes. And what's this other one? I'm just reading it now. Later in June. Saudi Arabia sacked the head of its entertainment authority following an online backlash against a circus featuring women wearing skin-tight leotards. Oi. Okay.
Yeah, our neighbors, the neighbors in Israel are just, you can't get excited that things are going in the right direction, because it just never fails. Whenever we try to give them the benefit, they go and mess it up.
All right.
You know, it's silly stuff like this.
Speaking of messed up things, this one really, I really need your help to understand. This again is in the Times of Israel. Israeli transgender woman. Now, I always get confused when it's kind of like,
I'm with you. I know.
You have to dissect that statement, and really what we're talking about is a bloke dressed up as a woman.
For those not from Australia that don't use the word bloke, a man dressed like a woman. Now,
yes.
What's that song? Man, dude dressed like a lady.
Dude looks like a lady, Steve Tyler.
Yeah, dude. That's it.
Israel supporter and Aerosmith, not so long ago, was performing in Israel. But Israeli transgender woman, or a bloke dressed up as a woman, says, or as we say in Australia, a bloke dressed up as Sheila, says not allowed to enter Egypt due to male passport. Well, of course he's got a male passport. What's the details on this?
Yeah, okay. So I read this. I get the same confused point when I first see this.
Oh, man, wait a minute. So, no, there's a photo here. There's a photo here of this guy. He is dressed up. He's got the makeup and the lipstick. He's got the earrings. He's got the hair. He's wearing a nice floral dress, and he's got a hairy chest.
He's not an attractive woman, I might add.
He's not an attractive woman. You think if you're going to get all of that effort, surely someone would have pointed
chest.
Do something about the chest hair. Anyway.
So Atalia Israeli Nevo, 27, let's say he, dressed like a woman,
he does,
goes to the border, wants to go into the Sinai, you know, nice little trip with some friends.
Yep.
And I don't know at what point he, she thought this was a good idea, but it turns out it wasn't a good idea. Now, at the Israeli side, they take the money from Atalia Israeli Nevo. Mm-hmm. They take her money, his money, its money. And
his money.
So, because you have to pay this transit tax.
Yeah.
So the Israeli side takes the money for the transit tax.
Have a good day. Yeah.
Have a good day. Nice to see you. Cute dress. And he gets to the Egyptian side.
Mm-hmm.
The Egyptian bloke looks at his passport and looks up at what appears to be a dude dressed like a lady.
Right.
And he's confused.
Or a woman with a hairy chest. Yeah.
Or a woman with a hairy chest. Yeah. One of the two, or both.
Yeah.
And says, "You can't come in. Your passport says you're a man." So Atalia gets mad. He can't get into Egypt because they said no go. You can't be a woman on the appearance and a man on the card.
No.
Take your stuff back to Israel. Back then to Israel, and they let her in.
Yeah, of course.
But now, because her trip's been foiled, she wants her transit tax back.
Yeah. Fair enough. He does.
She that wants the money back, and the Israelis told Atalia, no go.
Really?
You know, you don't get your money back. Yeah, they didn't give the money. In fact, one of the guards, according to her post on social media, was dismissive. You know, just like, carry on, go away. We got your money. We're going to buy something from a snow can stand. Yeah. So
I'm on his side, I have to say. If he doesn't get to go on his trip to Egypt, regardless of the way that he chooses to present himself, okay, so whatever, Egypt won't let you in. You know, I think Egypt should have. I mean, come on. But whatever, he goes back and says, no, I wasn't allowed in. Can I have a refund? Should absolutely be given a refund, don't you think?
Yeah, but they said, no, don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Mm. Go back to Israel. So, but they didn't give her money back. So she's mad about that. I don't know.
We're going to go to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Hello, I am Walter Bingham. If you want to hear the news behind the news and the true perspective on world affairs, then the Walter Bingham File is the program for you. We bring you interviews with the movers and shakers, political commentaries, and on-the-spot reports of events as they happen. All here every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Israel time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. And it's all archived on our website. Make it a date.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with John O'Vandor and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. We went to the break talking about an Israeli guy who wishes he was an Israeli woman. Decided to go on holidays to Egypt. Just wanted to get into the Sinai. Had some difficulty. Was turned back. And
You still think they should have given the person the money back?
I tell
man
you,
or woman. No matter what they're wearing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if they weren't able to get through the border, then yeah, I mean, come on, refund.
I think
refund
you're right.
Him.
I mean, at this point, you're just kind of picking on this person, you know? I mean,
I'm picking on him because he is dressed as a woman and he's got a hairy chest, and I just kind of find those that combination, you know, worthy of humor, let's just say.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're messing with Italia. They need to give Italia the money back.
Give him back his bucks. Yeah. right. And g'day, Italia. Here's something else from the Times of Israel. Ultra-Orthodox women who prefer long locks for their wigs face backlash. Okay, it says the more natural-looking variety of sheetals. Now, the sheetal is the wig, right? Grown increasingly popular in the New York area, but many who choose it face accusations of promiscuity. Now, my understanding.
Now, do our listeners know about the wig?
What do you know about it?
Well, as the little that I do know is that some women in the Orthodox communities will put a wig on covering their hair so that their natural hair is only it's considered part of the modesty idea that only their husband, their significant other, is the one who should see them uncovered.
Right.
So in order to, when they go out in public, generally, they'll put the wig on. I guess in their home, they might not. But when they're going out, they put a wig on.
But this is the thing. See, so now the sheetals are getting higher and higher quality to the point where, like, you might look at someone and go, is that a sheetal? Is that your real hair or is that not your real hair? There's an interesting thing. If the wig is of such high quality that you can't tell the difference, then are they judged for not wearing a wig? Do you know what I mean? Now, look, in another practice of Israeli Jewish women, the religious Zionists, so on and so forth, they'll just wear a hair covering. They'll just have these beautiful wraps that I think are really quite becoming. The ultra-Orthodox, in some, expressions, will wear a wig over their own hair. Now, the other thing that's causing controversy is that not only are the wigs of such high quality that sometimes you can't tell the difference if she's actually wearing a wig or not, but some of them are at a length that apparently crosses the modesty rules of this particular expression of Judaism. They're saying the length of the wig is too long, therefore it's too attractive. What do you reckon?
So they would prefer that the wigs not be long because if they're – and it looks like – I'm looking at this article now in the Times of Israel. It looks like one of the problems that's causing this backlash is that these wigs that are coming out, not only are they very good quality, but they're also very stylish. So they're sort of like the modern, what's hot in New York. And so it could be that I don't know if it's as much the length, it could be, but I'm wondering if it's, if you're putting on a wig that represents the latest, greatest in style, are you really observing the idea of modesty? Is that what's crossing the line?
So it says here, last year, local wig makers in Lakewood received anonymous emails which accused women who prefer long-haired wigs of, quote, trying to look like a prostitute. Oy.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Now, look, I personally, there's a photo here of someone who goes by the name of Flatbush Girl. Okay, so Flatbush is I suppose it's a suburb. Meanwhile, it says Flatbush resident Esther.
Is that a wig?
Sash, that's apparently a wig because now that, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, that looks like your real hair. That looks like beautiful hair. She's 30. Doesn't let the hate get to her. Sash owns an Instagram account to which she often posts photos of herself in various wigs. Now, honestly, if I had just seen this photo of Sash, I'd go, "Wow, you've got beautiful long hair." I would never have thought that is a wig. And I guess
part of the problem. Part of the problem. you would say your hair is beautiful. See, that's what evidently. They don't want to attract that kind of attention. Is that, would that be a fair statement? In other words, if a man looks at him and goes, "Hey, hubba hubba, that's some good looking hair you got there." Right. Maybe that's part of the problem is what I'm saying.
Though some people have written disgusting comments, one encouraging her to, quote, "go drown yourself in a lake."
Oh, wow.
Sash does not appear to be planning to change her ways. She told the Post that the notion that hair, quote, hair length has a connection to spirituality was laughable. Well, she has a case to argue there, I have to say.
Right.
Look, I, you know, culturally, I find it it's an interesting way to observe a modesty rule. A modesty rule that to my knowledge is not found in the Torah. This is something that's imposed upon this particular expression of Judaism. But you know, I mean, look, if this is the way they want to do it, and if they want longer wigs, more realistic and more beautiful looking wigs, so for me, I don't see the problem. But evidently, it's crossing the boundaries of tradition.
Yes, some of the comments that are listed in the article are really taking this a bit far. I mean, you know, some of the comments make you think that these women are probably out doing what's that kind of dancing?
Zumba
or something. Yeah, I mean,
we've
these
reported
women
on
are just
this before.
Yeah,
that's
but
right.
No, but they are. They're making some really ugly comments. In fact, there's a woman in this particular article in Times of Israel, Mindy Meyer from Flatbush.
Mm-hmm.
She seemed to sum up the feelings of many young women. She says, quote, "I'm an Orthodox woman and I want to adhere to my traditions.
Mm-hmm.
But why do I have to look like I'm from Fiddler on the Roof?" So
right.
I think her comment is, look, I can be a very solid, adherent, observant Jewish woman. And, you know, and I don't have to look like I just walked out of the set of Fiddler on the Roof. Now, here's another thought that crosses my mind.
Hmm.
I would hope that most men are not so depraved that just seeing a woman's hair would cause them to have. I mean, look, we live in a crazy world, Jono, I admit it. But, you know, in a way, that's a little bit degrading on men that they. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe I should just stop.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I mean, look, if you can't control yourself because a woman's hair is out, I think that's a problem with the man and not the woman. But for whatever reason, these traditions have developed in certain expressions of Judaism, and now this is the issue at hand, and that's what Times of Israel is reporting on. Now, it raises another issue in my mind, and I want your opinion on this. Because over the last year, there's been a lot in the press in regards to the man bun. Now, are you familiar with the clip-on man bun?
I am familiar with it, not because I own one, but because I have heard about it.
Okay, so but there is a thing. There is listeners can find videos on just Google man bun, clip-on man bun, and you'll find all sorts of videos and stuff and news articles and so on and so forth. Here's my question, Ross. Would a clip-on man bun pass as a kippah? That's what I want to know.
You know, it could, but you know, I have to let you know something. I zoned out when you said man bun. You know what I thought about?
What are you talking about?
I had a marketing idea.
Oh, no.
You know, I know you have a nice beard. I think I have a nice beard, but some guys don't really have a great beard, and they want a great beard.
Oh,
they
a clip-on
want to be
beard.
Like us.
Clip-on
a
beard, is that what you're saying?
Beard. Do they have them already?
I've never said. But tell you what, why not get a clip-on man bun and just stick it to the front of your chin?
Either way, exactly. And see, then because there's really no regulation against that. In fact, the bigger the beard, the more manly the beard, the more biblical, the more religious. I'm thinking there might be something there, Dono.
There's a market there. All right, patent that as soon as we get off the air. But let's not get off the topic because we've only got a couple of minutes. I'm thinking. That because the kippah is a symbol of religious observance,
right.
Yarmulke, right? It's a symbol of religious observance. But if you can wear a wig over your hair to observe as an expression of religious observance in the ultra Orthodox world, then why not have a clip on man bun? Would it pass as a kosher? But to see, this is the thing. How would you know that the man bun is fake? It'd have to be fake. If it was your own hair, then you're not wearing anything, right?
Right.
If it's someone else's hair,
I'm thinking,
and you're clipping it on.
It have to be a different color?
I want to hear from a rabbi on this. There's a lot of rabbis that listen to this, and I want to hear, can a clip-on man bun be passed as a kosher kippah? I want to hear from some rabbis on this, and we'll report on it next week. What do you reckon?
I think that's a great idea. Look, I just wanted to touch on one more thing because you brought up this question about wigs. You know who could have used a nice, stylish wig, and it might have helped things a little bit?
Me.
Italia.
Oh, Italia.
At the border.
What's that?
Because,
no,
you know, her.
He seemed to have a pretty good head of hair.
Yeah, but it was sort of disheveled. I think maybe he would have been better off to put some. I mean, because I think that probably caused them to look closer at the passport, because they're like, is this really a woman? You know, and they, you know.
You think if he had a better quality sheet, then maybe he would have slipped through?
Of course. Of course.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon he could make a man bun out of his chest hair.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
That's what we have to contribute this week. Dear listener, thank you for joining us. We'll be back this time next week. We hope you'll join us then. And until then, have a great one.
Have a beautiful week.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.